Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Mark Guy, Tony Squires with you. Just 55 minutes to share on our return to the airwaves. It's been lovely to spend some time with you this afternoon. There's been plenty to talk about with rugby league back at paddocks around you on May 28. And I've also missed speaking to this man. It's time to catch up with Brent Reid.
Reedy's Mail.
Hey, mate, how you going?
It's been far too long. I've missed you guys. Yeah. I really have. I've caught up with Emma every now and then, but and MG.
Yes.
Gerds and Tone, I've missed you, blokes.
Yeah, I know. Not that we spent a lot of time together, really.
No.
No. Not really.
But those little short conversations. Yeah.
When Reedy wants, wants a free coffee.
Actually, Reedy said, speaking of coffees, Reedy, I heard you on the Zoom call with Anthony Seibold the other day saying, you don't go to DY, you only stick to Freshies, so you're not supporting business.
Is that right? Well, you actually drive past my place to get the fresh water, Reedy?
No, I don't. No, I live at a Lambie Gerds.
Yeah,
I don't have to. But I'll pop in this week. Are you open?
Yeah, we're kind of open. I think so.
Yeah. Hey, Reedy, before we get to the listed topics, I note that your column today I read in the Daily Telegraph. I'm guessing it was probably in the Australian as well. You're everywhere. You're talking about, as we have been, Peter Volandis and the job he's done in terms of leadership, and you've compared it to the AFL, and in fact, the AFL comes out fairly poorly in your estimation.
Well, it was more same time. So often we get compared to the AFL and we get looked down on. People say rugby league's the ugly cousin of the AFL. And if you look at what's happening at the moment, I mean, I picked up the paper today and the AFL's talking about doing inspections of players' homes to decide whether they can stay there and bubbles. And we've been talking about this stuff for months.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it used to be that we'd follow the AFL, but I think in this situation with Peter in charge, they've been forced to follow us because rugby league's taken the lead on this thing, not just here. I mean, basically around the globe, really. So, you know, I think that's a bit of a turnaround for the game. I think it shows what having a really strong and determined leader who believes in himself and believes in the code does for it. And, you know, I think he's done an amazing job.
No,
in our shadow at the moment.
No, I tend to agree with you. There are some mitigating circumstances given a much tighter situation in Victoria, or certainly their restrictions are tighter, and they've got teams in Western Australia and South Australia to deal with as well. But generally, I agree with that point. All right, what about the broadcast deal? Where are we?
Yeah, I reckon we'll get something next week on this. Look, Peter had set himself a deadline on Friday to get it done. It's pretty close. It's not all the way there yet, and that's the issue. That's why I got put off. But I'd expect next week we'll get confirmation. Foxtel, I would expect they'll do an extension. We talked about five years has been the time period that's been talked about, and I'd be surprised if it isn't a five-year extension with Foxtel, which would take it through to the end of 2027. I think Nine will just be confirmation of the next couple of years and what they are going to pay, because they're going to get a discount because of what's happened this year and COVID-19. So they'll get a discount. They'll firm up the next 2 years, and then I think they'll look at extending Nine potentially down the track, but it does leave the door ajar for 7 or 10 if they can get their house in order to maybe make a play at rugby league. So Foxtel definitely next week, I'd say, and the commercial guys further down the track. But you're talking, even Fox would be, you know, a five-year extension, we're talking about $1 billion potentially. So it shores up the code for the next 7-8 years now.
Do we know how much of a discount Nine are going to get, Reedy?
Well, the talk was about 30%, but as I understand it, that the discount's for this year, but it's been spread over the next 2 years as well, so that they don't take all the hit this year. They get the discount spread over 3 years, so it just doesn't hurt as much. But the figure that's been bandied about is about 30%, and that's probably about right. And Fox has got a discount as well, just because it's not the same. It's not going to be the same without crowds, and it's not going to have the same atmosphere, and it's probably not going to have the same impact on television, I would think. So that's why they've all been given a bit of a discount for this year.
And does Peter think that it's the best time to negotiate for, you know, years down the track, as opposed to, I mean, it doesn't seem like we're in the strongest position at the moment to negotiate deals that, you know, could happen in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, the flip side of that is good, is that Fox isn't in a great position at the moment. You know, obviously people have turned off their boxes, haven't they, because rugby league's not on. So you'd argue that they're not in a real strong position either at the moment. So the NRL is probably more important to them than perhaps they are to the NRL, I would think, at the moment. I mean, they're just so, the Foxtel so desperately need rugby league on, because people just turn their sports packages off and go to other streaming services. So
what the hell are they thinking? There's still quality television going on, Brent Reed, on Tuesday night.
Back page, maybe.
Well, that's true, Tony. You know what I was saying to someone the other day? I got caught the other day watching the World Tetris Championships.
Oh, yeah.
But then what followed was the hot dog eating championships. That's some of the best commentary I've ever heard. I've never watched it. Unbelievable.
What about the US cornhole champion? That's terrific as well, where they throw sacks of corn through that hole.
I love that.
That's really good, MJ.
I could be a professional at that.
Absolutely. Hey, Em, you're at Channel 10. Any spare cash lying around you've seen as you walk through the offices in terms of getting involved in the broadcast deal?
Well, I've seen all of the reports, but from whispers upstairs with all the bosses, it doesn't seem like, or at least for, I know originally they were suggesting for the rest of this broadcast deal, if Nine didn't come through with it, and I don't think that seemed accurate from what the bosses were saying. But I mean, who knows going forward?
Yep.
I think Ten are quite interested in getting a bit more racing, so potentially. I mean, we've got the Melbourne Cup Carnival, potentially snatching a bit more of that off Seven, maybe.
I mean, it might even be that they divvy it up. 10 might have a game, 9 might have a game or 2 games. They might end up sharing the load a little bit, just so it doesn't hit them as hard in the hip pocket as if they had all 3 games.
Yeah,
that's more work for you, Reedy. You could be working at 5 or 6 networks instead of 5.
Can you put in a good word for me at 10? You just about run the joint now.
He's already doing 12.
Anything for you.
We spoke to Junior Pierce a little earlier, and we were talking about stadiums, and he wasn't definitive. Obviously, we've got the draw for the next 2 rounds, but we don't know exactly where they're being played. What are you hearing?
Look, the obviously Bankwest will be one of the grounds in Sydney. The tip on Friday was that Cogra would be the other one. If there was only 2, it'd be Bankwest and Cogra, just because it's close to the airport. And I think the issue with Leichhardt was that maybe Leichhardt wasn't as good for the biosecurity purposes. In Brisbane, it's obviously going to be Suncorp, and it looks like Gold Coast could potentially have to play at the Suncorp Stadium. The Cowboys in Townsville and Melbourne at Amy Park. So that's the way it looks. And obviously, I think we'll hear about that mid to late next week.
Hey, Reedy, is there any word from the NRL on expected crowds at some of the bigger events like grand finals and Origin at the end of the year?
I don't think they're overly optimistic, Gerds. I think that was one of the issues early on. They just the feeling was always that they wouldn't have crowds this year. And I guess that's why they weren't overly concerned about maybe losing the SCG or ANZ Stadium going out of action for the grand final, because they weren't budgeting on crowds anyway. And I don't think they've budgeted on them when they've done their budgets and how much money they're going to lose this year. I think they've basically done that based around no crowds at the games. Their best hope is to get them in for Origin, I think. And look, even that's a long shot, to be honest. And that's worth so much money to the game.
And one of the casualties of the no crowds at games has been Big League. There's no Big League this year. That's did you start there at all, Reedy? Have you ever written a column for the Big League?
No, I started at the Queensland Times and Ipswich, MG.
Okay.
Great rags. And no, I never. I've tipped in the Big League in previous years. I did my top 8 once. But they brushed me in recent years.
What about good? I know it was like probably just for this year because there's no crowds, but I remember seeing your name in that Big League for the first time, Gerds, on the bench for under-23s. I was number 48 or something, and I went, oh, my goodness, I've made it.
Yeah.
I'm in the Big League.
Have you still got it?
Yeah, still got it.
Love that.
Still got it. And before that, I used to start the Big League to, you know, my dad's a mad Para fan back in the day, and we used to go and sit on Cumberland Hill, and I'd have my Big League, and I'd, you know, tick off the scrums and the penalties. And I loved it.
Yeah, someday I'm going to be out there and somebody's going to get an RSI and mark and the penalties against me.
I was always a rugby league weak man myself. I grew up a rugby league weak man. I sort of came around to big league eventually, but I thought you had to have one or the other, and I was a league weak guy early on.
Me too. As a kid, I got a drawing published in Rugby League Week, and that was the most exciting thing. It was a drawing of Graham Langlands playing for St. George, and there it was. I put it in. It was brilliant. I was like 10. Oh. 10.
Josh.
All right, what about Josh Reynolds, the glorious homecoming? Likely to happen or unlikely?
Yeah, I don't think so, Tane. I think money's the issue. He's on a big contract, Josh, and it's a big contract next year as well. It's not just this year, it's the next year as well. So for that to happen, the Tigers would have to chip in a lot of money. And we're talking a lot of money. I think he's on over, the mail is over 800 this year and next year. So it's a pretty sizable check that the Tigers have to pay a bloke to play at another club. And I think they'd be reluctant to do that because Canterbury just don't want to chip in that amount, a huge amount of money for Josh Reynolds, because it's not necessarily an area they need strengthening in. So at the moment, I'd say it'd be highly unlikely, but it just depends what the Tigers want to do, doesn't it? If they want to stump up some cash, then it's a chance happening. But at the moment, I'd say it's pretty unlikely.
Well, Matt said during the week that that Harry Grant is really, really pushing for that starting spot. So then, potentially, I mean, would they have Billy Walters on the bench or Reynolds? Yeah. Because if Reynolds isn't playing at all, I know you still need depth, but are you better off just offloading a little bit of cash if he's not going to be playing for the rest of this year anyway and there's no reserve grade competition?
Yeah, well, I suppose, but the issue is next year, Ellen, it's so much money next year that you'd have to chip in for him. I don't know whether it's worth their while. I mean, I suppose if it frees up some cash and there's someone out there they really want to get and it frees up some cash for them, then potentially it's worth doing. But you're right, I can't see Josh being in the 17 this year, because I think if you talk to people about Harry Grant, they'll tell you outside the NRL, he was just about the best player in the game, and certainly in the Queensland Cup last year. I mean, they think he's a star. Some people are suggesting he might be the Queensland hooker at the end of the year. That's how good people say he is. So I think he's a walk-up star to be the number nine. And Billy Walters, I think he did enough in the first two games to suggest he'll be the utility on the bench. So it makes it really hard for Josh Reynolds.
It's a good headache to have, isn't it, for Madge?
Well, it is. We all know how important hookers are in the modern game. Mm. And, I mean, you know, Harry's a first grader. He has been for 12 months now. He's just been, unfortunately, stuck behind Cam Smith and Brandon Smith in Melbourne. And, you know, no one can blame me for not getting a game down there. So we'll see how it goes. I think he's going to have a massive year, Harry Green. I think he will be a star this year for them, and that'll be huge for the Tigers.
And just quickly, Reedy, the referee's still in some dispute about the one referee only. Is it likely to be all resolved May 28?
Yeah, it's been held over till Tuesday, Tane. Waiting with bated breath for that one to get resolved. I think it's a bit of a storm in a teacup, to be honest. The referees aren't that popular now. Can you imagine if they striked and stopped the game starting? There'd be lynch mobs out for them. So they'll resolve that pretty quickly, I think. I don't think they'll stop the game going ahead.
I've often wondered about that saying, bated breath. What's bated breath mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just throwing something random up, that's all.
Yeah,
throwing something else around, Reedy. We embarrassed MG before, so during isolation, something a little bit disturbing came up on Twitter. You giving manscaping advice to Jamie Soward on Twitter. Please explain, and how is the manscaping going?
Well, that started on this program. Oh, no, it started with you in Perth, didn't it, Em? From memory,
we were talking about manscaping, and then you started... you were getting jealous that you were the only one, I think, that didn't manscape, so you thought you'd give it a try. Ooh. You gave us all feedback on how it went, and now you're giving advice to others on Twitter.
Wow.
Well, like a lot of others, I've let myself go in isolation. I haven't manscaped at all.
No short back and size for you, Reedy?
I'm about to get back into it. I might get the clippers out now, actually.
Oh, God.
Brent Reed, as ever, great to catch up with you. We'll speak again soon.
Great stuff.
Bye, Reedy.
There he is, Reedy. We'll chat with Liam Knight next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, King G, and we've also got King MG. Like that. We've got Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you, and more importantly right now, we're joined from the South Sydney Rabbitohs by Mr. Liam Knight. G'day, buddy.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Very, very well, thank you. How are you? Pumped and ready to go?
Yeah, ready to go. It's been a long couple of weeks.
I bet. Just talk us through, and we've been chatting today about the difficulties that you must be facing individually and as a side. How have you coped with isolation and all that you have to go through?
Yeah, the first couple of weeks, so I'm not going to lie, were pretty tough. You know, a bit of there was a lot of doubt, you know, around when we're going to come back, and obviously all the pay cut kind of stuff, which wasn't that important. But more importantly, no one sort of knew when we're getting back, which is pretty stressful for a lot of boys. Yeah.
Nighty, you found your home at South Sydney. There is an urban myth floating around that when Wayne Bennett rang you to ask you to come to the South, that you basically hung up on him or didn't return his call. Is there any truth to that?
Maybe a little bit. I think I didn't have the number saved, and I had a weird voicemail from a guy named Wayne, obviously. I didn't have any mates named Wayne, so I thought someone was jamming me up. So. It wasn't until I got a call back that I realised it was Wayne Bennett, and I might have done myself in a little bit.
That's classic.
And what did he say to you? He just wanted you at that club, didn't he? He didn't care what had happened in the past. He took a real... liking to you from the get-go, didn't he?
Yeah, Wayne was really upfront with me. Pretty much one of the first things he said to me, don't really care what you've done in the last couple of years. I just want you at the club and we'll go from there. I don't really care about your past. We'll make some new memories and I hope you'll come on board. That was pretty much it.
It's been a really positive start for you there, hasn't it? They found a hole in the front row and with a fair bit of extra responsibility, given that Sam's now retired and some other big guys have moved away, and especially some forward leaders, and Johnny Sutton won't be there as well. So some more responsibility, but so far you seem to be enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely loving my time at South. So just from the start, it was such an easy transition with the quality group of people and obviously a high quality group of players as well. And I found my feet a little bit, like you said, out of responsibility. I haven't really looked at that too much. We've got some good leaders now still, obviously lost a lot of experience, but I'm pretty excited to get back and playing footy and do my job for the fam as well.
And you're playing alongside, obviously, Latrell, who has been something of a media magnet, some of it self-inflicted, some of it not deserved, I would have thought. But he plays against his old club first round back. How's that excitement?
Yeah, to be honest, I think the break at the time with all the stuff that was going on with Latrell and the media, like you said, I think unfairly criticised. Mm-hmm. The break was good for Latrell to get away, mate. He's looking that good at training. I'm pretty excited up against the Roosters for him. Probably the biggest game for him. And I think everyone in the squad's ready for him to rip and tear, and I'm pretty excited, mate.
What was the hardest thing, Liam, about isolation as far as being a professional sportsman go? I know you can... You can train your ass off until you're blue in the face, but there's nothing quite like being back in the...
You can train your ass off until you're blue in the face.
That's a good one, Matt. I think it was motivation. Like, obviously, there's enough motivation. You know, you want to keep yourself in good stead and keep yourself ticking over, but you know, it was the uncertainty that, you know, no one really knew when we were going back, and just to keep motivated day in, day out, just to tick over, you know, get that training done, that kind of stuff was hard at the start for me, mate.
What did they do in relation to the equipment and that for you guys? I mean, did you go there? Did you get a certain amount of weights? Was it done sort of, what part of the house was it done? I mean, how did you sort yourself out?
Yeah, they gave everyone a certain amount of weights and it was pretty much do your best. I was lucky enough to, I live with Toby Rudolph from the Sharks.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah.
So we were allowed to keep training together. Obviously, we pushed each other, and that was a lot easier for me. So I'm not sure how other boys cope, you know, by themselves and training on their own, that kind of stuff.
And obviously, you guys have to separate yourselves at the moment from the rest of society, in a sense, just going to training and going home. But Mark Nichols, I saw he just had a baby. What's it like for him? Is he allowed back at training yet, or not, because he was sort of in the hospital? Is he back with you guys?
Nah, see, his missus, I think, I'm not really sure, I'm not going to go too much, and I'm not 100% sure, but I think she was a bit sick after the pregnancy and had to go into hospital, obviously, with her firstborn kind of stuff, and then he's been exiled from training for a week, so I'll have his mug around training for the next 7 days.
back to Wayne Bennett. He's come out and said, you know, coaches wouldn't even have State of Origin if they had it their way, because they just want their team to win. He's talking about the rule changes, but you just got to embrace them. So what has been the attitude to the notion of having one referee and the changes around the ruck area?
Yeah, honestly, it's one of those things. I don't think anyone really thought it would happen, but now it's happened. You've got to get on with it. You've got to adapt. A bit of a drastic change for maybe an unnecessary reason, but it's happened now, so we've got to get our head around it and we'll see how it goes, you know.
That's a great attitude. Great attitude. Yeah. And you've been that the last, you know, 12 months under Bennett, obviously it's a perfect fit for you. What are your short-term goals?
Probably get our season back on track. We obviously finished that last game pretty poorly, and the first three games are big. We got Roosters Melbourne, get a couple wins there. And short-term for me, just maybe solidify my spot in the starting position and get a few wins on the ball, mate. It's been a tough run.
And we love hearing about Wayne. We know he can be a bit of a quirky character. Around the group, there was a bit of talk too that he only doesn't believe in handshakes, or only once a week. Is it if he shakes your hand at the beginning of the week, that's it for the rest of the week or something? Can you clarify that for us?
Well, once a week is actually probably a bit fair. Maybe once a month. Honestly, I remember I thought he was jamming me out when I first got there. I shook his hand when I first got there, and then like a couple of days later, I arrived at training. I went, "Hey Wayne, how are you?" Put my hand out. He goes, what are you doing?" I was like, "I'm just trying to shake your hand." Shook your hand 2 days ago, mate. What are you doing? Put your hand out.
He's the best.
He said that jamming me out. It was hilarious. He's the best.
That is brilliant. Yeah. Have you got yourself into any TikTok?
TikTok, that was Toby's go, and I sort of saw him doing it, having a little bit of fun, so I thought I'd jump on the back of it. But and then we've got one brewing, to be honest, so stay tuned and look at the channel. It'll be coming up soon.
I love it.
Nice.
What about did you binge on? Did you watch in terms of while you're in isolation?
What did I binge on? I try to stick away from the TV, honestly. I picked up surfing, so I got out of the house a bit, I'm a terrible surfer.
The Last Dance? Again. Did you watch The Last Dance?
Yeah, I'm all over The Last Dance.
Oh, wow.
That series. Absolute champion, Michael Jordan.
That is brilliant.
Now we've got Damien Cook rolling around training, thinking he's Michael Jordan, telling everyone he's MJ. So it's a bit of a blessing and a curse, that series.
I like the dynamic that you sound. It sounds like you've got going there at the Rabbitohs this year. Liam Knight, thanks so much for having me in chat. It's been great. Really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
All the best.
What a good young bloke, eh? Yeah, good young bloke. And you know what? He's Gerd's made some really good points then about South Sydney's depth, Burgess and Sutton out of that pack. And the first two games, I think Liam Knight played lock. And everyone said, "Oh, why is he playing lock?" And where's Cam Murray? Cam Murray's out on the edge. And that's how much faith he's got in Liam Knight, Wayne Bennett. He put him at lock forward, and he's probably their best player in the first two games. So this kid's on the march.
Loves him, but won't shake his hand anymore. That's a great shot. Where did you find that, Em?
One of the players had said it in an interview. I think maybe Cody Walker told me once. He's a strange old character, isn't he, Wayne? But I love hearing those bits and pieces, what they're like, the things that we don't see. I mean, you hear Wayne always trying to give us a headline at the press conference, but those little things are pretty quirky too behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Now, the phrase bated breath, MG, you asked about, and I asked about training your ass off till you're blue in your face. We'll get to where that. I think that will be in years to come, derived from Mark Geyer on this very every day. But bated breath is a phrase, and one of our terrific listeners has sent this in.
Who's that? Who's it from? Peter from where? From Wayland.
Oh, my neck of the woods. The Druid.
That's right. Bated breath. And it's spelled, this is where I got it wrong. It's spelled B-A-T-E-D, not baited as in B-A-I, not like baiting a hook. Bated breath is a phrase that means to hold one's breath due to suspense, trepidation, or fear. Bated breath, it's a phrase first mentioned in Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice.
One of his best.
Yeah, it is one of his best. Word baited is an abbreviation of the word abated, meaning to lessen in severity or amount.
So
there you go. That's what bated breath is.
I thought you would have known that, Tony, being the wordsmith that you are.
You know what?
You did a bit disappointed
in
yourself.
Deeply disappointed.
At the very least, Tony's not the one using phrases. And he doesn't know the meaning. That's Reedy just, throwing these terms around. Oh, was it Reedy?
Yeah, it was Reedy.
He doesn't even know what it means.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. It was rubbish.
But when young producer Charlie sort of bounces through the door and someone says, "What does that actually mean?" Well, I look straight to Tony.
You should know.
I mean, you've got a journalism degree. And
there's not much I don't know. Mm. And I don't really have a journalism degree. I was once a journalist. I got a job. My first job was at the Newcastle Herald, but I was rejected first, and my rejection letter was brilliant. It was word for word. This is true. "Dear Tony, we've chosen a cadet, and that cadet is not you." I love it. This is the Saturday Scrum.
Were you waiting for that letter?
Bated breath for the next letter.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, comfort is quality. Also, quality is king. Comfort for kings. That is King G. We thank them so much for their support. All right, Emma, MG, Gerds, it is time to play a little bit of this.
Believe it or not.
George isn't at home. Seinfeld.
Greatest American hero.
Can he be? Believe it or not. Okay, I'm going to hit you with a couple of topics. And you just basically tell me whether you believe it or not. Is it true? Do you believe this it will be the scenario? I'll begin. We've mentioned him a little bit before today. The Titans. Believe it or not, the Titans are a better team without Rice Cartwright.
Maybe if we're talking about Melbourne or the Roosters, you'd probably say yes, but we're talking about the Titans. I think, you know, this guy is, on his day, one of the... He's enigmatic. You know, but if he just knuckles down and does what he can do, he's an unbelievable rugby league player.
True.
So the Titans need him.
Okay. M?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think you could say they're a better team without him, but at the same time, he's not the type of player that if he didn't get that exemption and he was unable to play, it's not all of a sudden like it completely changes the dynamic of the team and you think, well, that significantly affected their chances. Yep. But I think to say they're better without him, that's unfair because, as MG said, on his day, you know, he can...
It's a very harsh question.
It is a harsh question.
I'm looking at Producer Charlie, because that's a really harsh question.
You know, the opening two rounds of the competition, you know, I was excited, obviously, when Justin Holbrook got the appointment of the coaching role there up at the Titans, and you know they got some good movement of players, and Taylor came back, and I was actually quite excited to see how they were going to transition from what was an awful year last year to a new year this year. Looking at some of their roster and saying, well, what can Justin Holbrook do with a guy like Bryce Cartwright? He's got limited experience as a coach, and you've got a young player there that's kind of struggled to find the style of football that suits not just him but the team. Now, I don't believe the way Bryce played those first two rounds, and if he doesn't change his style, he is a good fit for the Titans team. I think a player like that, a club like that, I'm sorry, need players that are just going to put the ball under their wing, not make errors, get to the other side of the field, play basic, and on the back of that, worry about their defence. He missed some tackles in those first two rounds on halves and that let tries in. The good back rowers just can't be making.
Yeah.
So, and now we've got the whole attitude thing with, you know, the flu vaccine and what that means for his teammates. I know he's got his own beliefs. I understand all that.
Yep, valid.
But, you know, it's a team sport. It's a team environment. We're all in this, boys. Get them all together and say, righto, fellas, you know, like, we haven't had a great start of the year. The last thing we need are these distractions. Let's all get in, get whatever we need to get, and go forward and march on down to Sydney or wherever we've got to go, united, and try and win a couple of footy games.
So is
did
that
I answer
yes?
that question?
No. What's the answer? Yes, they're better without him?
Yeah. It was a 12-minute maybe. Okay. All right.
I love you, Tadish. You understand me so well. I'll have another.
Believe it or not. Can we hear Believe It or Not again, please? Just one more time. I think it would work better if I hear it. Just a bit.
Yeah. Not.
I'm out of this one.
George isn't at home. The Eels are the premiership favourites. MG, believe it or not.
Not. No, I think they, at the start of the year, I thought they were. Yeah, I with the, you know, obviously Bankwest Stadium being, and they know the lay of the land, that's going to help them somewhat. But in front of no fans, it kind of levels the playing field somewhat. But I think they've recruited beautifully. Campbell Gillard and Madison are the two big boppers who, Campbell Gillard's played Origin for Australia. I think Madison will play Origin one day. So they've recruited beautifully, and the fact that their biggest recruit's off the field, Andrew Johns, what he can teach Mitchell Moses, and we saw it in the Nines, we saw it the first two games. I think he's what he's brought to Parramatta's arsenal is a defensive halfback who can teach Mitchell Moses so much. I still think Canberra are the team to beat this season, but I think Parramatta will be right there. I think, yeah, if answer your question, I think probably you have the right
Please
to
do at some point.
Yeah, 12 minutes.
No, maybes allowed in this game. It's a yes or no question. Stretching.
Can I hear the intro again? Believe it or not, ow! Okay, yes. Yes, they deserve
it. Yes. Believe it or not, mentioned. This is a segment in a professional radio station.
they've lost the plot, these two.
And would you like to answer the question? Believe it or not, the Eels are the premiership favourites.
To put it simply, no. I believe they can do it.
That's what we should have said, Gerds.
They've got potential to do it, but I agree the likes of the Raiders, their side hasn't changed significantly. And then they've got Jordan Rapana. I think the Storm are up there as well. Gerds is telling me, don't drag it out. The simple answer.
No, I'm saying do drag it out.
Well, you do want me to drag it out.
Please.
I want another 12-minute monologue from Ryan Girdler.
That's the symbol for stretch.
Yes.
That he was doing.
I thought you were saying stop.
No.
Indeed.
You've got to learn the signals. It's all in the codes, haven't you been?
I was on TV with Mark Bosnich, who can talk. He's like a didgeridoo, he just keeps going and going and going. But he was there, and they were trying to wind him up, giving the signal for winding up. And he thought that meant to keep talking. Honestly, he would not stop.
It's the worst thing. I remember when I was at Fox Sports News and you'd have to pad for a bit, and at other times you needed to wind someone up to try and, when the camera's on you, so you can't on radio, you can make signals trying to get them to wrap up. You try and give them the eyes or put your hand close to them as if you're jumping in, but it's always so awkward. Sometimes you just have to cut them off.
I'm cutting you off so much right here.
Really?
Gerds, that I'm not even ask you that question. I'll ask you this one. Believe it or not, Josh Reynolds would be a good signing for the Bulldogs.
I believe he would be. Yeah, I think obviously he'd be one of their spiritual leaders. Kieran Foran, we know that he's had an up and down last couple of seasons. I think form-wise, when Kieran's there, they're in a lot better shape, and it's good that he's going to come back and take part in the season. But to have some cover for him, and they've only got some sort of young 5'8s coming through the system. They've got a dummy half that's sort of not really playing 80 minutes at this point, so I'm sure Josh on the bench for those guys and then filling holes throughout the year would be a great investment for the Bulldogs.
Em?
Absolutely, I think he'd be great.
3 minutes.
On the field, yes, because we saw even that last game, I mean, Lachlan Lewis was hooked and they had Brandon Wakeham there for a bit, I think. So having extra experience, yes, would be great. But more importantly, I think just the fact that the Doggies love him, he's... Moses Mbai said during the week he's the Prince of Belmore, so I think it would be very fitting, just like Benji Marshall returned to the Tigers, for Josh Reynolds to do likewise at the Dogs.
MG?
100%.
Believe it or not. Okay, there he is. That is that wonderful segment. Which
that
we'll
went really well.
Yeah, it did.
Believe it or not.
We'll come back, wrap it up on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
A little bit of Veruca Salt for you. Love Veruca.
Veruca.
Oh, yeah.
Veruca.
Where are they these days, I wonder?
I'm not sure. That is Cedar. This is the Scrum on Triple M. There's plenty to come, obviously, after this. You calling, aren't you, the game?
Maroon and Wendell are going to come in, and we're going to go and call that cracking, I think it was a qualifying final between the Tigers and the Roosters in 2010.
There's no point reliving that.
I know the game goes for about an hour, so I've come in well prepared.
Right, okay. So how do you research, or you're just pretending, you know, you've never seen this game before?
If I've had time, I do some research, Tony. If I don't, I just turn up and shoot from the hip, you know, I guess.
Just like you always do, brother. You're a gunslinger.
We've all been very excited across the day about the return of rugby league, as I'm sure you are as well. But, MG, you mentioned it pretty much from the top. There's also a really important opportunity going on right here, right now. Now, I understand that the UK, the Sky TV, is that right? They're going to be showing every game, every game in the rounds 3 and rounds 4, which is just amazing, that opportunity to get it out there on Sky Sports UK. That opportunity in terms of a global audience, given the paucity of sport around the world, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. I know the interest, which was levelled at us through the first 2 weeks, AFL to a lesser degree, but NRL, all the Americans were going, what's this game? You know, because we're only one of the only sports in the world that we're playing, but it's so important. Yeah, I think it's, you know, let other people see exactly how much we love the game and why we love it. When they start seeing us in, from American point of view, I know that the English, you know, they have Super League over there, but the Americans in particular, they still can't believe we don't play without helmets.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, so to get it on the global scale is fantastic. It was John Rebo's dream in '95 that I can walk down China and someone will know my name.
Well, hopefully.
But that's never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless it's on a wanted poster.
Some videos did go viral. George Tafua's hits, didn't they? They made it over to the States and they were all talking about it over there. So if we get some big hits, some flashy play, maybe a few flick passes, cool like Benji 05 style. It will things be, that might go global.
It will be brilliant. It'll be brilliant locally as well, so we look forward to that. But we've got another 3 hours to share with you next week. And, gee, it's been great to be back with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch up again very, very soon as Triple M continues to rock the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24-7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.